Good afternoon. Important part of our team building process here this weekend. Thank you everyone for coming out. I'd like to start by thanking our scouting department, Ryan Cowden, Blake Bedingfield, Brian Gardner going back to free agency. All of our scouts, there's been a lot of work that's been put into this draft class and finding out as much information about these players, determining their skill sets for us. And the coaches as well. Those guys really hit the road this spring and try to spend as much time with these prospects as possible. A couple of roster notes before we get started and open up for question. We picked up Taylor Lewan's fifth-year option this morning, so excited to get that done. And then as a housekeeping note, Bennett Akacha is retiring from football, so that will go in today too to the league office. So with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Why wait this long to pick up the one-year option and moving forward with a long-term extension? Do you expect that to get done this offseason or perhaps next?
I think we'll have some discussions about Taylor's situation. He did a really nice job for us last year, obviously. Had a Pro Bowl season. He's excited about the direction of this football team. Looking forward to continuing to work with him.
Is that would you call that an easy decision to pick up the option, or – was there a lot of discussion about it?
I think it was a relatively easy situation, easy decision, I should say. He and I sat down this morning and talked for 20 minutes. He's excited about the style of football we're playing here, and he wants to be part of this organization for a long time.
Tom, you talked about hoping that the need and best player available can intersect. If you can't get out of five, is that possible in this draft?
I think what we're trying to do is get the best football player that fits our football team. There's a lot that goes into the decision-making about the player. We're not so concerned about who's got who ranked here or what rank there. We're looking for the player to fit what we want to be offensively and or defensively. If they have a role in the kicking game and come in and play at a winning level and help us win football games.
How much harder is the top of this draft to predict relative to the last couple of years when you had the obvious quarterbacks at the top?
Yeah, I think over the last week or so, the quarterback market has maybe heated up a little bit, at least from what I can see on the internet. I don't know how legit it is. But again, I think we're in a good position at 5 and 18 to get two good football players, and if we stay there.
Does that help you if the quarterback market really is heating up?
Oh, I would think so. I would think so.
What's the trade market been like? Are the calls the same level they've been in years past?
We've had a few calls. I think there's some that are just investigative, just trying to see if anything's going on around us, and then we've had a couple a little more serious in nature about potentially moving.
Sure, to talk about those types of things, fielding calls. Last year, obviously, you had the first pick, and you were able to deal in a couple of weeks before the draft was here. Is this now more of just kind of having to see how the first picks go before somebody would make a serious offer to get number five?
Yeah, I think so, Terry. I think that that's they've got to wait for four players unless they've got those four pegs or those four spots pegged on which players are going to go there. It would really more probably manifest itself a little closer to draft night.
If you moved roughly the distance back that you moved up last year, is the value the same, or can the value change based on how badly somebody wants to come up? Might you have to take the last to make the same?
No, I think that's a great point. I think it's depending upon how urgent the team that's willing to move up wants to go get the player. I think that sometimes determines what you can get out of the trade.
Is there a sliding scale there for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's some of the discussions that we have, that we go back and forth with the team that we might move with. what it might take to eventually come to a decision. Again, it's probably not going to happen on the first phone call where you're just going to agree and get a deal done. There'll be a little bit of a back and forth, I would imagine.
Do you need a second rounder to move out of the five spot?
We'll see. There's a lot of ways to acquire draft currency, whether that's future picks next year, whether that's multiple picks this year. I think there's different ways of accumulating value for the picks that you would be acquiring to move back.
How does draft match up with maybe what your needs are as far as strengths go?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's good football players at several positions in this draft. You know, I think that a lot. There's the secondary is pretty deep. I think the defensive side of the ball in general is pretty strong, and I think there's some players on the offensive side of the ball as well that can make plays.
I know you guys, I could predict how you answer this question, but as far as the receiver goes, look for big, look for small, look for a guy who can do a number of things. What's the key there when you're looking at the receiver position?
I think we've said it multiple times. There's really two things, and we've incorporated a third. Get open, catch, and block. So that's what we're looking for.
Some good guys to pick from in this draft?
I think there's some guys that potentially could fit that criteria.
Are there more guys or fewer guys that first-round grades are in the board than the average?
We don't really talk in terms of rounds. I know some teams do. We talk really more about value and role for the football team. I think there's certainly starting caliber players in this draft in the first round, whatever number that equates to, whether it's 32 or 21 or 17. I don't really have a hard number there for that.
You said tiers of talent, or how is it that you approach that? I mean, is it a list of guys run through, however, or do you have like an A group, a B group? How do you set that?
Not to totally unveil our scouting system here, but and we talk about roles for the players. You know, are they starting level players? Are they role players? Are they backup players? And then kind of stack those guys accordingly to where they fall into those roles, if you will.
Is anybody taking off your board for off the field issues?
Yeah, I mean, we vet every situation, whether it's injury or whatever, and then just kind of make the decision accordingly. But as far as for removing a tag from the board, those generally just kind of stay up there.
This is for Mike and John. How much is it for you guys in year two, knowing exactly what you're looking for, the type of player you're looking for, the mentality you're looking for?
I think we know. The process has been really good. Again, we started last year, John and I. We meet daily, typically early, and go through a lot of the scenarios that can possibly happen. Obviously, starting on Thursday, but we kind of know the routine now. We know what we're both thinking in regards to how we want to approach it, and we know how we think a little bit more this year than we did last year, and it's made it go very smooth, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think just the newness of me and learning me and me learning certainly Mike and the other coaches as well, and I think it's been because they've gone through the process once before. There's certainly a familiarity there with what we're expecting.
How much more, if any, are coaches now involved in the pre-draft process than maybe when you started, and how helpful is it, I guess, to have your say?
Well, I think just about every team I've been involved with has been different. Here, we're much more involved. I think they appreciate that John includes all the information, all the interviews they do, all the personal time they spend with the players, the private workouts. Obviously, it all comes down into one grade, and it's valuable. It all counts. It's really important what the coaches do here. And we travel probably more than I've been around, but I can say this, including myself, I'm much more informed about these players than I have been in other places I've been, whether it's been a position coach or coordinator or head coach. We are trying to do our due diligence on all these guys, and we're fortunately, we're much further ahead with our schemes than we were last year when we were all just coming together, you know, both offensively and defensively. So it was much more accommodating to get out this year and spend the time that we did than it was last year. So we traveled more this year.
In this draft or in any draft, we go through guys as a general rule. How many guys are on the board that you look at and say, all the teams would want this guy and immediately plug him in as a starter versus you have to compile the rest of the guys along to this guy fits what we need, but he doesn't necessarily fit what the other teams need?
Yeah, I think that changes from year to year. Are there any players that transcend every draft? Are there any players in this draft? I don't know the number on that. I think there's a lot of good football players in this draft that are going to be taken that would have an impact for about any team that drafts them.
How many starting level quarterbacks would you say there are in this draft?
Several.
More than typical year?
Yeah, probably more than a handful.
Let's do the part where we cry for specifics. Because Casario said they've got 50 to 75 players on their board. Sounds like you guys are operating a lot like they do. You have a number like that?
They've added more since I was there. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, you count through and try to see how many, you know, names are up there. I'd say we've probably got a few more than that. So.
You guys have been pretty clear about looking for a wide receiver, but cornerback. Are there traits that you would value across more than others?
Yeah, most certainly. You know, I think ball skills are important. I think the ability to tackle is important. The ability to play with good technique, their instincts. Their speed, their savvy for the position. I think there's a lot of factors that go into versatility. Can he play outside? Can he play inside corner? So I think there's a lot of characteristics that we look for in that position.
What position does Solomon Thomas project to you?
You know, so he's kind of a unique guy. I think he's a guy that can. He's played nose tackle for those guys. He's played end. He's stood up. I think he could play a lot of positions.
When we entered the draft last year, did you feel like somebody called, maybe not with a legitimate trade offer, but just to get a feel for you and how you act or what they might be able to do with you down the line somewhere in a draft?
Yeah, probably. I can't remember a specific instance, but we had several discussions, not just on the first overall pick and then or when we traded back up, but you know, once you get into the draft, moving around in the second and third day as well. I'd say we had discussions with a number of teams about, you know, sliding around and getting ourselves in position to pick a player.
How important was it to sort of establish I do know what I'm doing. Don't waste your time trying to take advantage of me.
Again, I just try to do what's best for the team. I'm not trying to really show whether I can do this or that. I'm just trying to do what I can do to put the team in the best position to win football games. So, but those discussions with other decision makers are certainly important when you're building rapport with guys around the league.
Do you call it a priority to leave this draft with a second round pick?
Not necessarily a priority. I think we're just trying to come away with a few more guys that can help us win a few more games than we did last year. I think that's our goal.
How big of a lead do you guys feel you have at the tight end position, and how's this draft at that spot?
And I think we've got some pretty good players at that position on this football team. I think this position group in this draft is it's a pretty deep one. There's different types of tight ends. I'd say the college game is changing that position a little bit. They're oftentimes more detached than maybe they were when Coach Malarkey played. But I think there's good football players at that position.
Mike, we found plenty of trickery last year. Didn't necessarily have a guy that fits that bill. Guys like Christian McCaffrey in this draft. How much can a guy like that, not just him, but other backs, maybe they can line up in the backfield, line up in the slot, even line up wide. How much would you like to have a weapon like that?
That'd be a bonus, no question about it. you know, that is a question that's asked literally of almost every skilled player we interview. Their background going all the way back to high school, what they former quarterbacks, have they been put in a position to throw the ball in a game? What gadget plays have? I mean, that all kind of plays into factor. That's just an added, I think, bonus to a player that we're looking for. But, and there's probably more in this draft than there has been in recent ones.
You sort of nodded and said yes to instincts when John was talking about cornerbacks too.
Yeah.
How can you tell a guy does or doesn't have instincts?
I mean, tape says a lot. How they break on the ball. It looks, you know, you can tell instinctive. They've done their homework. They've read route combinations. They've read the quarterback's eyes. They're not out of position a lot of times. They're reading splits. They're reading a lot of things. The releases of receivers on their side. There's a lot of things that play into a guy having an ability to play the ball. And to me, that's a lot of that is instincts.
Was that for coach? Or?
Either. You can answer,
John. I coached at one point. You said coach. Yeah, I don't know about a piece or two away. I think we've got a chance to add some good football players to a team that did some good things last year, and hopefully we can continue to build on and improve on a daily basis. I think if you were to Mike talked about it when we first came back, just in trying to improve on a daily basis. I think that's what we're all trying to do in this building is just improve and give ourselves a better chance to win a few more games than we did last year.
Along those lines, though, usually when you're picking, when you've got a top five pick, it's because you've not been good the previous year. You got it, obviously, from the trade with the Rams. Does that change the approach or the way you look at this draft because you're not having to fill as many holes this year as you have the last?
No, I don't think it changes our approach, really. I think, again, we evaluate the players the same way. We go through the same process. We, again, like I said earlier, we're looking to find the right fit for our football team, a guy that can come in here and be productive for us offensively or defensively.
How long has Borkin said, and is there still room to maybe move some guys around even up to the first.
I don't know that there's really been a set date that it's been like when we don't glue them to the board. I mean, there's movement really more kind of on some of those, you know, later day guys that are at least we anticipate being later day guys. There may be a little bit of movement there, but I wouldn't say we're going in there this afternoon and mixing them all up either. So we're getting pretty close.
What's the feeling after all the work since this process has been going on?
I think, I mean, we're continuing to have discussions. Mike and I met this morning for an hour. Myself, Ryan Cowden, and Blake Bedingfield, we were just in the draft room before we popped down here. So I think we'll continually work the process, and that's what we're charged to do is to try to work until the clock starts, and then when the clock starts, the real game starts. So we'll continue to work through the players and try to get ourselves in position to better the football team.
How many people have seen
the room? I don't know. Not
Mike?
Yeah, not many.
That many?
Yeah, maybe a handful.
Mike, from the end of the season when you first sat down with John, was there anything specifically you said we need next year? How do you feel where you are now, maybe after free agency? Is there anything when you sit down with him today that you say we need?
No, I think we look at, first of all, when the season's immediately over, there's a lot of work to do to see what we need. There's a lot of time spent studying ourselves to see where we are in every phase and how can we improve, not just scheme-wise, but player-wise. And I can't tell you that immediately when the season's over with. It takes time to do that. But that's an ongoing conversation that leads up to Thursday that John and I both know what we're looking for now that we've spent all this time this off season studying ourselves.
What
What role does Amy have as the draft unfolds?
She'll be in there. We'll talk through the board with her as we inch closer to when we're on the clock. Talk about the player we're selecting, or if and or when a trade manifests itself, what goes into making that decision. She's very inclusive in the process. She's still on a high from jumping out of that plane yesterday. That was pretty awesome. She's excited about the weekend and us building the team.
You need to convince her of a pick in particular, or is she just sort of want an explanation as to the direction to do that?
We just talk about the player and the fit and all the work that we've done on the player, their character, maybe some accolades that they may or may not have won, how we see them fitting into our football team.
Like, is Kevin Don helpful?
He's not completely. He's not far off. He still has a little bit of pain in that foot. So we're still working with him daily, trying to get him to be 100%, but no, he's not.
How big a concern is that? I mean, it's just going on almost a year now, I guess. Since
I mean, it's a delicate, injury, and he's done everything he possibly can to get back to the level. But it's just taking time. It really is just taking time. There's nobody at fault. There's nobody. We're doing everything we can to get him back. And he's been here working diligently trying to get that thing right.
Derek, have you been around him?
No.
Have you had any conversations with him?
No.
Would you prefer it if he was at least in communication, just to chat with you about where he is and what he's up to?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't reach out to Derek. All the players know our schedule, know what we're doing daily, and I didn't feel like I needed to follow up. He's been informed, as everybody has.
John Taylor, from your perspective, what's it mean to know he's here at least another couple of seasons now?
It's great. He again, very, very good season last year. I think he has grown immensely in the last couple of years. I think it's shown up in his play and how he handles himself really on and off the field, but he's been great in this locker room. So it's good to see that happen for him.
If Derek called, did you answer the phone?
Absolutely.
Is it disappointing to you that you haven't heard from the second round pick from part of the team? I mean, I know he doesn't have to be.
No, he doesn't. That's the main point. He doesn't have to. None of them have to. So no. We got a good group going on working right now. He's, from what I understand, he's in school, and I don't think there's anything negative about that.
John, is there a guy at 5 or 18 that you have graded at that level that would be so valuable to the team that you'd say, I won't trade this pick if that guy's available? Are there guys at that level for you?
Oh, good question. I think that's not to get into a philosophical dissertation here, but there's a lot that depends upon that. There's teams that you have to gauge around you that may covet the same player. Can you slide down and get the same player? Or if you do so, are you making yourself vulnerable to maybe being leapfrogged by another team to come get the player? So I think that's a pretty big, conversation piece when you're talking about A, when you're on the clock, and B, the opportunity to maybe slide around in the draft too.
Are there positions that you A, don't draft in the top 10? I mean, would position group eliminate someone in your book ever?
Maybe long snapper. I would say no for the most part. Yeah.
Reports come out leading up to
nothing draft. Against long snappers. I love them.
When reports come out leading up to the draft of off-field incidents involving the players, most of the time is that stuff that you guys, your research that you already knew about, and the news is just now coming out, or you have to go back in and tweak your board to account for that?
Another good question. I think again, we have a great security team here. Our scouts, they have great contacts at the schools. I think it's something that we rely on everyone to go back through and circle back with their contacts, vet the situation out, and try to get as much information as you can so that you can make an informed decision about the player.
Is Sean Sims a starting caliber corner in your mind?
I think LaShawn did some good things last year. I think he kind of plugged in there. He had a nice pick in the Kansas City game. He had a nice play in the Denver game, I think it was. It broke up a pass. So, LaShawn came in and bought into the process. He worked on his technique. He stayed after practice and worked with Coach Townsend on his technique. So, we'll see. He's looking good in here now. And we're optimistic about what LaShawn can do for our football team.
No, not really.
More people out in the public than in the halls here.
What do people tell you when they see you on the streets? Oh,
well, yeah, they love everybody from Bama.
No, none
particular. These people in the city, they're passionate about their football. I think that our fans are excited about the direction of our football team based upon what we were able to do last year, and hopefully we can give them something to be proud of this coming season. And strap on the two-tone blue and fill up Nissan.
You said you found some humor in the past at mock drafts and how accurate they may or may not be. But when you're sitting at 5-18, do you kind of have your own mock draft of the ideal situation right now if we could get at 5-18?
Yeah, we talk through that on a daily basis. We try to sift through all of the internet stuff about this player going here, this player going there, whether it may be visit meeting. A certain team has an affinity for a certain player potentially. And you try to see who's going to be there when you pick. Again, do you really have it nailed down? No, but it'll be closer as we get closer to Thursday.
So do you view the first five picks or sitting at five, do you view it as very cloudy 1-4 going in of what will come before you, or do you think you have a pretty good idea of what?
I think – again, I'm no. It's getting clearer. It's getting clearer.
At number five, do you go for a position of need, or is that so high where you just take best guy?
Another good question. I think every situation. Again, like I said earlier, we're looking for the player that fits that can have an impact on our football team, that fits us, and we think can come in here and help the team win.
Michael hasn't been quite 2 weeks, but when we saw Marcus, he said he thought he was 2 to 3 weeks away from launching any new clearings or developments with him.
No, I'd say that's probably true. Still on track. It's been very positive. All the reports back from the doctors.
So could run next week?
Possibly, yes.
John, is it harder to project a first-round guy, second-round guy, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh? What round or rounds think is it harder to draft in than another round? Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, certainly the latter rounds, because there's 150, 200 guys that are gone. So those guys have teams, and then you're kind of left with what's there. But I think what we've done a good job the last 2 years is trying to find guys that are there or what we think might be there in the third day, and getting those guys and adding them to our football team, whether it's a Tajay Sharp, LaShawn Sims, Tritola, Aaron Wallace, Kalen Reed. I think all of those guys last year who were, third-day players draft-wise came in here and contributed to the football team.
If you love a guy, you think he's worth five, but in your assessment and your front office's assessment, the league values him at 15. Is it your obligation? Are you obligated then to – try to move and draft him at a value position, or do you take that guy where you are?
Yeah, a good, great question. I think that's one that you have to look at, the scope of the teams that you're moving back behind. You have to look at teams that are behind you. If you move back there, that might try to jump you with another team that's ahead of you. I think that's maybe a long answer to your question, but again, you've got to try to position yourself to get a player. If you think you can move back and still acquire the player and add, you know, add draft currency by more picks, that's something we would certainly entertain. That's kind of what we did last year.
Is it harder to assess the value of that guy or assess how to lead him?
I think it's probably more of the latter, you know, just because there's so much uncertainty of what how the other teams maybe view the player.
So what kind of odds would you give that you pick 5 and 18?
50-50.
You guys have a couple more questions.
You're the one who gets to make the call to the player. What's that moment like for you to tell a young man the first round pick in the NFL?
Oh, he's pretty excited. Usually pretty loud, in a loud room with family. But you can tell you can just tell, you know, the dreams come true. I don't think it matters what we've told them. It doesn't matter where, when, who, it's a matter of getting your foot in the door. And I think these guys are just excited. They're part of it.
To be a part of someone's life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, because there's the opposite end that's not so good. This is a great part of it. Great for them, great for us.
You talked at length about when this draft is over, having guys who come in and make this a better football team. When this draft is over, are you hopeful that you will have enough players that you're pleased with that you don't have to go back and revisit in free agency and add a piece here or a piece there down the road?
I would hope so. But, again, every situation is unique. You know, injuries happen, knock on wood, none of that happens. But, again, we're constantly evaluating the players that are available out there on the street that may not have jobs now. And we'll see kind of how these draft guys mix in.
Well, last season you guys talked about after the draft the impact of Jack Conklin when you guys met here. Has anybody this year made that same impact?
Yeah, I think there were several guys that came in and had a nice visit. I think there's a lot of guys that we've talked to that would fit into what we want to be about as a football team.
We really haven't had, in the 2 years, we've really had a good group come through, I think, both years as far as.
Yeah, I haven't thrown anybody out of my office yet.
Yeah.